They didn't bring three gifts, as people have kind of determined. Along with the kiddies, we are still celebrating Christmas. I don't know. She just saw a picture, I think. But they're cute. They're looking to the Lord, don't you think? We continue to celebrate Christmas because he's born in our heart, right? I would sing Christmas carols all year if somebody would let me. I can guarantee you that. But anyway, it's good to see you. You have to sing a little bit louder today for the people that are with their families or still out of town. But I know you can do it because I've heard you, so I know it. Keep Kathleen Voss in prayer on the 30th. She's having surgery for a full hip.
Now proclaim Messiah's
our heads bowed and eyes closed for a moment. If you were at the nativity scene and you saw those eyes that looked right through you, and you saw the glory of the Lord that filled that place, and the balcony of heaven opened, and you saw heaven rejoicing, that moment that heaven and earth sang. I'd like us to spend a few minutes, and if you feel to just say to the Lord, Lord, you are wonderful. Whatever, it doesn't have to, it can just be a word or a phrase of thanks to this marvelous Savior who came as a baby so we could have new life. Father, we thank you. Lord, show us the richness of the birth of the Son of God, that we can see how valuable and extraordinary our own birth into the kingdom of God really is. Lord, it's a mirror to what you alone can do in our lives. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Father. Just feel free to thank him for whatever's on your heart. Amen. Then look around the room. You're not moving, but look around the room and see the jewels that God has put in his house. Okay? At least I feel they're jewels. One other thing the Lord does that is phenomenal, and that is that he brings people to us that we adore. And one of them is going to come up and read the text for the message. Nicholas is going to read Luke 2, 25 to 38. Please stand for the reading of the word.
Luke 2:25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. If he had revealed, he had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child of Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you have now dismissed your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, and a light for revelation to the Gentiles, to the Gentiles, and for God to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was about him. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be signs that will be spoken against, so that all thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Pamphiel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And there was a widow. She was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them that very night, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to him, to the redemption of Jerusalem.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Nicholas. Title of the message is After Christmas Specials. How many go shopping after Christmas? I don't. But a lot of people do. And apparently there's some good stuff out there. And there's certain things that are better in January than they are during the general year. You know that in January, if you want to get back in shape, assuming you're out of shape, 70% off of fitness equipment in January. That's a good sale, but it's like I told a salesman years ago when he said, "Well, why don't you buy something?" And he said, "Yeah, I can save you 20%. And I told him I can save 100%. And it was a better deal. But anyhow, you can also get a TV. CompUSA is chopping off $600 if you want a 48-inch wide, so 46-inch if you need an LED TV. Now it's at the sale price of $899.99. Get it before midnight tomorrow. How many use the GPS systems? Okay. Best Buy has a system for $149.99. It's normally $229. So that's a pretty good deal, assuming they haven't marked it up in the first place. January is a good time to get a car, because they need to clear their inventory. So they say they're better than the great deals they give you in December. So if you want a good deal, go in there and get a good car, and one that hopefully will get through all the snow and the ice. That would be important. But I want to tell you about a couple of after Christmas specials that are in the Bible, and I think that are overlooked, unfortunately. Two of the great people in the Bible are Simeon and Anna. There's no question about it. They had a heart to serve God. They had a heart to wait upon the Lord for what was coming. And they actually, one of the great things, they didn't have to see it in its fullest context. They could see it in an infant form. You know, part of our biggest problem is not that we don't see what God wants to do, but we judge it wrong. Because we look at it and we think, well, it's not what I thought it was going to be. Now, I don't know any scripture, I don't know any story in the Bible, really, where it was what the people thought it was going to be. God works his way. We need to see his fingerprints. That's how we know it's from him. So, we're going to hook up the TV. The word television has the root word teleon, which means to see from afar, to see a longer range. And with the Lord, you have to see a longer range, don't you? Because he's doing something all along the way. It will all connect to the end days, to what's going to happen. And we all know that he's coming again, isn't he? And when he comes, he's coming in his authority and in his power. And every ruler will be amazed because they will say this, you know, it's not what I thought. You know why? Because they didn't wait upon the Lord. We wait on the Lord, we get his answers. So I'm going to talk about three after Christmas specials. And it's going to be kind of like if you were in a supermarket. God's supermarket of providing for us. First, we're going to go down the cereal aisle. Okay? It's not like we call certain places flakes, fruits, and nuts. But it's cereal aisle. And it's called the Special K aisle. Okay? In the story, what we have is Jesus being circumcised according to the law. It was imperative that everything he did was done to complete and to fulfill the law of Moses. Not only the Ten Commandments, he had to be perfect, which he was. He had to keep the feast days. He had to conduct himself all the way through his life to complete the law. You know why? Because then the law is rendered powerless because somebody has kept it. And instead of looking to the law to be your savior, you look to Jesus because he's the one who kept it. He's the one alone who honored it. And we look to Jesus. And then the law becomes, the New Testament says, a school teacher to lead us to Christ. Because what does it do? It shows us what we need. It doesn't give us the answer, but it shows us what we need. And of course, who we need is Jesus. And so Jesus is brought in for his presentation in the 21st verse. And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This was the day of stating the name, giving it legally, giving it, pronouncing it, and having the circumcision. And if you think about it, it is a foreshadowing of the cross because blood is shed. It is everything in his life foreshadowed the cross. It had to. And his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was even conceived. You know, God knows ahead of time, doesn't he? Aren't you glad? I know I'm glad. Boy, if the Lord was based on what we know, might be a little nervous. But it's imperative here that Jesus' name is given and that he is circumcised to comply with the law and the Abraham covenant and all of the specifications of the Old Testament. Something else that's interesting, because you just have to love the Lord. When 8 days were complete, you know, in about 1941, somewhere around there, it was discovered that vitamin K in the system is at its highest on the eighth day to help clot. You think God knew that? Of course he did. He created the body. Is it any surprise that the first after Christmas special is vitamin K, is special K? Because it's very special. God alone created it to protect the life of that little baby and every baby, of course, before and after. So I love it. It is the cereal that feeds us. It is the cereal that gives us life and that reminds us that he set us free from the works of the law, that we may live unto the grace that he alone provided. That's the cereal aisle. Then we're going to go to the LED aisle, where you might think there's a TV. And there is, to a sense. But this is what's called being led of the Lord. Do you know, we know somebody that when they go shopping and she sends her husband, she gives him a map of the whole store. Literally. And he goes in, and it's on this aisle, and it's on this shelf, and it's three things over, and it's two down. She doesn't trust that he can find it. And she's probably correct, because I'm sure he's come home with the wrong thing. We need to learn how to be led of the Lord. Don't we? There's no manual. It's in your heart. As God draws, as God leads us. Simeon was a devout man, the Bible says. And this word means to take hold reverently. To take hold reverently. Personally, I would love to see more, not just ministers in the pulpit, but Christians have a reverence and a holy hush for the things of God. Instead of thinking that it's in our hip pocket. It is not. It's in God's hands. And it's in prayer and on our knees. Simeon grabbed the promises of God and he held on tight. He was led of the Lord and he said, I'm going to hold. He didn't have loose fingers. How long have you waited for a promise from God? Remember, Abraham waited 25 years. Doesn't that seem forever to you? Does to me. How long are you willing to wait? I know how long some have been waiting for the salvation of a loved one. From the time I got saved to when my dad came to the Lord was about 17 long years. But I can tell you this, when I knew that the grace of God had entered his soul, those 17 years melted away. Because all that was important is he received it. Just like when a baby is born. You may remember some of the kicks, I'm sure you do. But the joy of seeing that life totally exceeds any pain that's ever occurred. The Bible says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, meaning Jesus, the Messiah, coming for his purpose to set up his kingdom. Again, they didn't understand. He was coming in baby form. He was coming in the incarnation first, and it's a dual prophecy to the final coming of the Lord. But the word waiting, that's a hard word. We wait with the clock, and a minute takes a million years, doesn't it? But it really means not just waiting for the Lord, it means to wait on him. And when you wait on somebody, you serve them. What do you need? What are you doing? When we're waiting on the Lord for an answer, we're not just supposed to be saying, Lord, do what I want you to do, you know, and I'm giving you a list of 5-6 things. What we're supposed to say is, Lord, what am I supposed to do for you? What can I hear from you? What message are you giving me? How can I grow in my patience, in my character? It's one of the things the Lord is doing in Harvey and Marcella. They would prefer it a different route, I'm sure. What do we learn while we wait? We wait on him because he's always faithful. And it said here, he's waiting for the consolation. And this is an interesting word because within it is the word paraclete. And the word paraclete means to come to the aid or come to the side of somebody. It is the name that is ascribed to the Holy Spirit. He is waiting for the consolation of Israel, the one who is going to wrap them up in his arms. Who better than the Holy Spirit to do that? You ever felt the warmth of the Holy Spirit? You ever felt him hold you when something's going sideways? Have you ever sensed that when he just makes something real to you, he brings it alive? I love it. He is the light. And he comes to our aid. He comes to our side. I'm glad the Lord is not afar off. God comes right down. He comes intimate with us and actually takes the blows for us. We just don't know it. You have no idea how many blows he's received from the enemy trying to get at you and get at me. So the Bible said here about Simeon, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Do you know there's a difference between the Holy Spirit being in you and upon you? It's the same Holy Spirit. He has to be in you if you're a Christian. You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit residing in you. He's the one that turns on the Word. He's the one that connects your relationship to the Father. He is the one that opens up all of life to us. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he comes on for anointing. He comes on for service. He comes on for a specific purpose. You ever been talking to somebody and you can sense the Holy Spirit coming on you because he's doing the talking? That's an additional work of the Holy Spirit. Simeon found that out, and it was very obvious. I remember we were at a church a number of years ago, and we'd walk in just minding our own business, as we try to do. You may or may not believe it, but we do. And one of the elders in the church, very lovely man, came up to us, and he says, "You know, when you guys walked in, I just saw the Holy Spirit walk in with you." And it broke my heart because I told him, I said, "Isn't he here already? Don't you know him?" Well, I mean, I pray that people can tell the Holy Spirit is working in us as he is in you. I do pray that people can tell the Holy Spirit upon you. But I got news for you. If he's walking in the door and he isn't here already, we're not praying enough, folks. We're not waiting on the Lord. Because he should be here. It's his house. So I thought that was an interesting comment. But the Holy Spirit was on Simeon. And he was able to hold the child. And he was actually able to bless the parents, Mary and Joseph. What a great moment for him. To take the nativity scene and extend it and then become a part of it and be able to bless them. Imagine the joy of his heart. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit is on you and the Holy Spirit is ministering through you and he does something in you because you've been praying and you've been waiting and you're honoring him, he's going to put you in situations where you are going to be able to honor people. And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised what the Lord is able to do. He gave me the scripture in Bible school that your gifts will bring you before great men, which is a generic term, but it does include men. And I believed it, and I still believe it. And I'm in the presence of many of them. Okay? God is faithful. Simeon was on the LED aisle. He was being led by the Holy Spirit. Through all those years, God rewarded him. And then because the Lord is wonderful, he touched a woman who was there. Anna, she was a prophetess. And the Bible says she was from the tribe of Asher, which I think is wonderful. The Lord inspires Luke to list the fact that she is a part of this tribe. And Harvey, you'll like this because the name Asher means happy. So I think your dog is part Jewish. But and the other thing that's interesting to me is the tribe of Asher was given in the book of Genesis in 49. It was given prophecies about its future. And it said that it would have royal dainties and bread. And I thought, here's Anna in the house of the Lord. And she is seeing the bread of life come forth to feed a lost and starving humankind. It's a wonderful prophecy. And this woman, by the way, who was probably about 15 when she got married, they usually got married at 14, 15, somewhere in there. So she was probably 106 years old when you add it all up. They did live old longer then. But that's a long time. Do you think she thought she was done? She was over with? She was yesterday's news? God never thought that. I think it's absolutely delightful that the Lord honored her prayer and honored Simeon's, that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Messiah, and that Anna would see this delightful baby. Aren't you glad the Lord can use you at any age? He can use you as a young child. He can use you all the way growing up. God doesn't really have a retirement program for his people, just so you know. He wants us to serve him. And here's Anna, and she stays at the temple. Simeon, the Holy Spirit brought, but Anna stayed there. They both had a different leading. She stayed in fasting and prayer to keep her heart open and keep her eyes open to the Lord. And then Simeon, of course, the Lord, the Holy Spirit brought him. But the Bible says here that she departed not from the temple. And the Greek means she kept on not leaving. She kept on not leaving. You know what that means? It's a word that everybody uses now. And it's called intentional. She purposefully did not leave. Maybe sometimes she almost felt like it, but she purposely stayed. You know why? She didn't want to be gone when this great event, however it was going to come, occurred. She wanted to be there. And the Lord honored her. It's not a mistake that the Apostle John wrote this about the word of life, which is Jesus, of which our hands have handled and our eyes have seen the word of life. Simeon got to hold him. Isn't that fabulous? He got to hold him. Anna got to see him. You know, and she didn't go and say, well, I didn't get to see him grow up or nothing. Hey, she saw him in his fullness because he was born deity. Now, if you're a gardener, do you need to see the whole flower bed in its maturity, or do you need to see a bud come forth and you know that life is in there? You see the bud form. And I always ask the Lord, Lord, help me not see it the way I think it should be. Help me to see the bud life that you've put here. That's what I need to see to keep going. I don't need to see it in its fullness because that belongs to God. And God will be faithful. After Christmas specials solidified to these people that God did what he said he was going to do. They didn't bring the child. They didn't have anything to do with the scheduling of him being there. All they did was wait on the Lord and be led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes our delays are God's appointments for what he wants to do. And we think, I missed my schedule. And God says, oh, listen, honey, you made mine. I'd rather meet his. Aren't you glad the Lord loved these people enough to show them the Son of God? It's absolutely fabulous to me that the Lord would do that. Because I can tell you, in today's economy, they would look at Anna and say, what are you doing here? You should be out in a nursing home somewhere and just biding out your years and not having any involvement at all. But the Lord doesn't look at the skin. He doesn't look at the color of the hair. He doesn't look at anything but the heart. And that's the part where he lives. I'm glad he has so much more for us to see of what he's doing. I think we just need to say, Lord, Help me to see it the way you intend me to see it. If I have a preconceived idea, that's fine, but it may not be that. Help me to see the bud of life you bring. Help me to see that baby. And when he is circumcised, and when that blood is shed, and when that clotting comes forth, the Lord is going to make sure you don't hemorrhage and that you have life. And that's what he wants to bring forth. So after Christmas, you can get some really good deals, and the best deal is Jesus Christ. He is not cheap, folks, but isn't he valuable? Far above gold, far above silver, far above diamonds, and nothing I have exceeds him. Absolutely nothing. Please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today that you saw Simeon and you saw Anna. And they had a burden of heart to wait before you. They knew something was coming. They didn't know how. They probably didn't even know that he would be there that day. But God, you knew that. You're the one that is supposed to coordinate our life and our choices and our plans and all of those things. And you use those areas to bring about your fullness. Father, I pray today that for those especially that are waiting for the salvation of their loved ones, that they would see the bud of new life embedded in them and coming forth. Lord, I know it's a long time. I know the clock seems to run out, but I also know the grace of God will not run out. Because, Lord, you are not willing that any should perish. And so we do pray for new life and the salvation that comes by faith to come in every family and every friend and where we work, wherever we contact people. Lord, that your life and that the Holy Spirit would be seen on us and in us. And people would be hungering for the things of God. Lord, you are coming again. And you are coming in your majesty. And you want us to learn to wait before you. And you want us, Lord, to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not be led by our willfulness or our thoughts, but by you. Because, Lord, it is your work that is to be done. Father, I pray you take your word, these specials, Lord, that you have given to us, and make them special in our life. And for those today that have a prayer request in their heart and have had it for years, I pray, Lord, that you would shine the light there and let them know you've not forgotten them. Lord Jesus, and may they see your salvation, your healing, your victory come forth, because you do not have a memory problem. Lord God, we sometimes forget you, but you never forget us. Lord, so minister, I pray through your word, and may you be exalted, Lord, in everything that we say and do. And I thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for the final song.
Earth for me. at thy coming to victory. Let thy voice call me home, saying, yet there is room, there is room at my side for thee. My heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when thou comest and callest for me.
I do want to invite you that if you need special prayer for anything, please come up and afterwards be happy to pray with you. In the meantime, I'm going to ask Jerry if he would come up and close in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Jesus, we love you. Sometimes we don't have the right words, but you love us so much no matter what we do, dear Lord Jesus. We just ask thee, dear Lord Jesus, to be with each and every one of us here today. And dear Lord Jesus, let us think of you on a daily basis, not just when we're in church, not just when we pray occasionally at our meals, dear Lord Jesus. But dear Lord Jesus, you love us every day. You love us all the time. So we ask thee, dear Lord Jesus, just to be with us in everything we say and everything we do. Dear Lord Jesus, we want to be testimonies for you every day, every time. So thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for coming into our hearts and into our souls. And we ask thee to be with us and be with this congregation, be with everyone here. In Jesus' precious name, amen.